Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yo! What's happening? WTIC, good afternoon. I am back. Happily so from vacation. Although I could maybe get used to that lifestyle. The vacation lifestyle. I don't know how long I could last. I was incredibly tired. You ever have this happen where you're just so tired? You're so wanting downtime. You feel like you're so dried out from working so much. And then after a few days, you start to get the itch. I did start to get the itch, but not. It didn't overwhelm like it usually does. But by the end of yesterday, yeah. No, yesterday was my transition day. I took an extra day just so I could get all the work done that would have haunted me today and made it miserable to start back. But anyway, I'm not ready to retire yet, but I did get the feeling of how it could work, how retirement could be a thing that's manageable, because it's always spooked me. Like, what would you do all day every day? I know you're ready, but that's because you've never worked yet. You know, you haven't got it started yet. When you find the thing that you feel like you can do and make an impression on the world, you really want to get it done. You want to wail on it. Anyway, speaking of wailing on things, Jim Watkins is here. Jim is our COVID guy. And since COVID is making a whole new variation with another sequel. What is this? COVID 3? Jim Watkins, hi.
It's like, yeah, you're right. It's like COVID 3. The nightmare continues.
But it gets worse. And the actors, they have to hire actors who aren't as good because the earlier ones got killed off.
I wonder if they're already in Hollywood trying to figure out who's going to play who, right? Like, who do you think would play Fauci?
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman would be a good pick. I was thinking maybe Larry, what's his name? The guy from...
Yeah, Seinfeld. Larry David could do it. I don't know if he has the energy, though. He's too low energy, Larry David.
True. Yeah, that is true. So I looked up the names of all the Transformers because I was almost sure that Omicron was one of them, but I'm wrong. They had Optimus Prime, Sunstreaker, Ratchet, Megatron, but no Omicron. So too bad for that. But where do they come up with these names, right? Did you hear the big scandals, Todd, about...
It's so ridiculous. No, what's this?
I had a solution. Just call it Pooh Bear. You know, it's an inside joke, but nobody knows. And everybody's so worried about offending Xi Jinping. What about us? What about us being offended by their virus? Let's start there. I mean, who started this argument? They did. So it's...
Well,
it's,
there's two parts to being offended. You know, people have a right to be offended, and then the rest of us have a right to not care and not even let it penetrate our consciousness. And we've got to develop that part of ourselves, because caring about some brutal dictator from around the world being upset by a name we give to a virus? Come on. We're the United States of America. We're supposedly the most powerful nation in the history of the world.
I know. It's amazing how things can change so quickly. But, you know, you wanted to know and I wanted to know. Did you not notice how strange it was that Friday morning after we were all recovering from a night of stuffing ourselves, we would wake up? And it almost like they were all planning a major, it's like a Britney Spears or a, what's her name, Tiffany or somebody releasing a brand new song. It was such a well-coordinated effort. You had Fauci on ABC, all the major news networks. Suddenly we're talking about Botswana. Half of them didn't know where it was. They weren't sure. And it's amazing how much, because in my house, we were all together and I'm sure it was this way in your house, everybody's together, but nobody's really talking to one another. We're all reading the news on our phones and our laptops. So we're all getting the information at the same time, and guess what the punchline is? Get your booster. That was it.
Yeah.
That's what this whole thing seemed to be about.
Well, this is what's concerning about this coordinated cover-up effort, that all the weakling non-leaders who hold leadership positions, they look to Washington and they get their directions from Washington. The last thing a state leader should ever do is take direction from the federal government. He should listen to what they have to say and then integrate that into his decision-making, but not be their little stooges. But they're all so scared of getting caught in the, on the wrong side of a news cycle, they just do what the federal government or what Andrew Cuomo does, so they can say, oh, you know, there's safety in numbers. We're all working together. We're all working together.
The consumer's getting
squeezed. Oh, I just had a little governor cut here I wanted to play.
The consumer's getting squeezed right now. They want a break.
That's not the right cut, but that's, you know, that's our governor, Jim, and that's the kind of... That, yeah, that's the kind of fake compassion connection they like to establish. And COVID is all about that, those little steps of pretending you care and doing nothing to demonstrate it.
I think it once again proves that if these guys can't handle this, how are they really handling climate change? They never make the right decisions about anything. They've already got a mask mandate in New York. And we don't even know yet how dangerous this Omicron virus mutation variant is. Number one, but the woman who discovered it, and she didn't really after, she accidentally discovered it, Coetzee, I believe, Angelique Coetzee, from the South African Medical Association. She's like the Quincy of South America, South Africa. And she said, look, we discovered it. It doesn't mean that it came from here. It's just that it's maybe, you know, they had them in Belgium and cases appearing in Germany and the UK. Well, maybe it's been everywhere else first, and it just came to Botswana. And by the way, the people that they discovered that had this variant were already vaccinated. So there's no science behind the urge to get vaccinated other than Joe Biden saying, well, we think it might work against Omicron. But they don't know that. So it's not
science. How about Omicron? It's the Omicron.
Right, yeah. I'm a commie.
How about, you said that it's called the South African Medical Association. That sounds kind of familiar. SAMA, SAMA.
Well,
it's like MAGA, SAM, SAMA. Yeah, how do you say that A in a different, I can't get the A right. MAGA, SAGA, SAGA. Well, there it is, SAGA.
And of course, you know, there's our president. Did you notice yesterday, talking about us, encouraging us to get the booster, and he was coughing and hacking his whole way through, and he looked like he had a little orange, you know, yellow mattered custard in his eye. He didn't look too healthy there, that guy. Might have been too early for him to get up. I think that was the problem. He doesn't usually do anything before 11.
Man. The poor president just can't get any respect.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about it?
Well, so far, they don't have not released a fact that would make one worried, except that there's a new variant. And I guess we should be concerned about new variants because they could be bad ones. But the evidence out of South Africa so far is that this has less mild effects. But there's a lot of things to watch. But I don't worry about it. It's like, do you get worried about the flu? Do you get worried about the next virus that's coming along? You just roll with the punches, right?
That's exactly right, because there's really nothing else you can do. So how come you and I can come to that conclusion, but the federal government has to say we're in charge? It's like, in charge
of
what?
Well, I think they want to be in charge of everything, and this is the scheme that you see playing out all over the country, is everybody conspiring to make the federal government be in charge of everything. It's good for the politicians. They get paid for it, so the federal government pays money in exchange for letting them have all the power. And that way it's easy to get reelected on a state level by spreading the money around and buying votes. It's a sick distortion of our system. We're talking to Jim Watkins, CandidlySpeaking.net. Jim is our go-to guy on COVID. So what do you make of this? Tell us what you think, Jim.
Well, of course, I only listen to the experts, mind you. And Robert Malone, who's someone who invented the darn thing, seems to have the most answers. Some of the things that we're not being told, number one is that the vaccines could be causing the variants. I don't know if anybody's mentioned that to you or not, but they believe that the Delta variant, was, which came out of, what, Southeast Asia, was in response to a vaccine. So this virus is going to mutate, and it mutates...
Well, explain that a little bit, though. Explain how there's a relationship between a vaccine and a mutation.
We've talked about that before.
Hey, so, hang on a sec, Jim. Let me get to a break. We'll get a break in, and we'll continue with Jim
Africa
Watkins. Stay with us on... Jim, quiet! Stay with us on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Jim Watkins is with us, WTIC. The positivity rate in Connecticut has jumped to 6%. Jim, how should we interpret these kinds of numbers? Should we care? What's going on? Tell us the truth.
Well, overall in the country, it's gone up by about 20% week to week, but we are in the middle of November on the heels of a couple of major holidays. So I think it's more logical to assume that people are getting sick anyway from the normal seasonal flu, but when they go to get tested, because everybody is on alert, naturally more people are going to be detected with COVID. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get really, really sick from COVID, but I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't higher numbers going into the winter. I mean, that's common sense.
You mean we could have seen these numbers anyway, so we don't know if this has anything to do with anything yet.
Yeah, it's not a new variant that's infecting America. It's the fact that people are out, and frankly, I'm down in Florida, as you know, and our average death rate now is under 3 people in a state of 22 million. And our caseload is low, so we're doing something right. I mean, herd immunity, I think, is probably more predominant now than science wants to give it credit for, simply because the virus has been in circulation for such a long time. So it's natural. Nobody, except for people who have been extremely in lockdown, would have not been exposed to it at this point. So it's fair to say that your body has come into contact with it. Sometimes it reacts, sometimes it may not. All depends on your health system, your immunity.
You're saying even if you've never been infected, never been sick, or had any inkling that you had COVID, and never did have it in your system, you can build up some kind of immunities to it. Is that the right interpretation of what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The body is the best defense system on the planet, and I'm not saying you shouldn't get a vaccine if you're vulnerable and you have underlying conditions. Of course, we know the disclaimer that everybody says, I've got my vaccine. I probably won't get a booster just because I don't really trust. I mean, this vaccine's efficacy seems to wane pretty quickly. I see that if this continues at the current rate, we could be getting boosters once a month. And that tells me that it's not a very good piece of medicine. My body, on the other hand, can remember how to fight an infection if it becomes familiar with it. That's a scientific fact. So just remember my new slogan, science, not compliance. Do your research.
Ooh, I like it.
You like that?
The other thing is, with this new drug that's coming, that new drug basically will treat you after infection and have the same impact that on keeping you out of the hospital, I think, that the vaccine has. So I think we're moving to a point where the vaccine will no longer be relevant.
That's exactly right. I mean, they've got 2-3 different companies that will all have an oral drug that you can take even after you get sick. I can't think of anything that would be better for people, because you get it, you get sick, here, take this, take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning. That's been working for a long, long time. So just sleep well, try to sleep well, turn off the noise. You know, Uncle Jimmy is here to reassure you that, hey, we've gotten through the worst of it. I mean, if you look back at the last 2 years and the different successive waves that we've had both in your state or in your country, I have to believe that the worst is really over, unless there's some sort of super variant that we can't see coming. But it hasn't happened yet, so we thank our lucky stars, right?
Yes, and I, you know, my sense is from everybody I've been listening, we've all been listening to experts talk about this for close to 2 years, as you point out, and it seems to be that the normal pattern for viruses is that they get more normalized as time goes on. They tend to have variants that are maybe more contagious but less dangerous as time goes on. And
right.
This
and
is reaching up.
Yeah.
About Omicron.
Yeah, they're saying that Omicron is got 30 different variants, but it's kind of a wobbly, unstable. So it's not a clinger. It's not going to cling on to you for dear life. It's got way too many mutations. It's got a lot of. I mean, I'm trying to imagine like a virus with a lot of acne, and it's almost like not the actual membrane itself. It doesn't appear to be very stable when you stack it up against Delta. Beta, it actually stems from the beta. It's a beta B.1.1.529. So it's actually part of the beta strain. It's a variant of an already weaker coronavirus.
So you're suggesting that this variant, because it has so many new features to it, that they've been talking about it like that makes it more scary, but that could also make it more tame, is what you're saying.
That is correct. That is correct. So. But it just
all right,
started
Jim Watkins.
In 2 weeks where we're headed with this. But right now, I'd say the odds are in our favor. May the odds be in your favor, Todd.
what are the things that we will learn in 2 weeks that will give us a better handle?
Well, first of all, nobody's died of it as of yet. So if we start to see spikes in Botswana and Belgium and people of actually dying from this particular strain, that'll be one red flag. But we haven't even seen that yet. So, you know, much ado about nothing. No one's even died from this, and already you can't fly from Johannesburg to New York City. That seems kind of like an overreaction. So we really have to, again, science, not compliance, our way out of this.
But they claim that is science, right? To isolate people, and
I am
the
hear me roar.
If you cut people off from traveling with the variant, then presumably the variant wouldn't travel.
Well, that is true. But on the other hand, can we? You know, again, we've all been in contact with corona. It has been part of our environment for the last 2 years. It's highly unlikely that you haven't come into it. So we have to trust. I hate to sound religious, but we have to trust the body that God gave us. It's a pretty damn good system. And sometimes
I
wonder why doctors don't have more faith in this wonderful system we have called our body. It's just amazing.
Because they're trained to be the interveners when the body can't take care of itself, when it's too vulnerable, too damaged, whatever it is, when you smoke too many cigarettes or did too many dangerous drugs and you've got a weakened immune system or you're obese or whatever it is. So the doctors aren't health professionals. They're sickness professionals.
They're,
I think is the best way to put it.
Damage. It's not about prevention. It's about maintenance, right? So then they don't want to cure you. They just want to maintain a level of comfort so that you'll just keep coming back for more and more treatment.
But they're also reaction people. It's like you call the police when someone's breaking into your house. The police aren't coming around looking at your house to see how you can keep from being broken into. And I think doctors are the same way. We tend to look at them as these health gods, but really they have one little piece of the pie and the rest of the pie didn't get fully cooked.
Now, that's a good point. I mean, if they did ask questions like, what's your nutrition like? How much exercise are you getting? Those you would think would be important questions to ask a patient when you're trying to assess his health. But that is not what they teach in medical school. You're right.
Jim Watkins, CandidlySpeaking.net. Visit his website, CandidlySpeaking.net. Thanks for being here, Jim. Good to talk with you.
You too. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Labor Day. Is that coming up soon? I can't wait for summer.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
You know how Democrats have this thing of bashing rich people, successful people, and corporations, the evil rich. Oh, they hate the evil rich. Except when the evil rich are one of them, or many of them, as they are in the state of Connecticut. Talking about elected officials. Governor Ned Lamont is a complete weasel in terms of things of major importance from the perspective of good government. These guys used to be the party of good government in their own eyes. They used to make that part of their brand, the Democrats, and now they can't even talk about good government with a straight face because they are the crooked government people. It's sick. Blockchain technology firm to move to Stamford from New York. You heard this story yesterday? $8 million. Ned is paying, no, I'm sorry, $5 million. Ned is paying $5 million in state aid to get a company that his wife owned a piece of a few minutes ago to come to Connecticut. I'll read you a couple of paragraphs here so you have the context. An investment firm in Bitcoin and blockchain technology is moving to Stamford from New York City, helped by up to $5 million in state economic development financing in exchange for creating 300 jobs, Ned announced yesterday. Ned is a one percenter. Remember, the top 1% of the 1%. That's Jolly Ned. That's how he was born. This is what's natural to him. Plus, his wife makes big money as the co-owner of a firm on Wall Street. That's one of those fancy rich firms that provides startup money to medical companies. Here we go again. They're all over the place. And other kinds of investments in startups. They put foundational money in. They make a ton of money on the back end. That's what Annie Lamont does. Founded in 2015, the privately held Digital Currency Group has invested in more than 200 blockchain companies and is the parent company of seven subsidiaries. One of its businesses, Grayscale Investments, is the world's largest digital currency asset manager with more than $50 billion in assets under management. Grayscale will also relocate to Connecticut, as well as Tradeblock, another subsidiary. All right, now these people were invested in by the governor's wife, which means effectively by the governor. He likes to pretend it's all normal, that this is normal. For the guy who governs the state to have investments in the companies he's using state money to benefit. Because in his world, it is normal. What could be wrong if I give millions of dollars of my money, he thinks. Even though it's your money, you're the one who gets taxed going to work. You're the one he wants to tax for driving down the road. You're the one he wants to raise taxes on for gasoline. And he wants to use that money to benefit companies that his wife has invested in. This is sleazy on the highest level. And don't buy any cover-up comments like the governor made with regard to this company. Back to the story. Well, wait a sec. Here's a tweet yesterday from John Craven. I think this is important. What TV station is he? Is he NBC Connecticut? New. More jobs coming to Stamford. This is John Craven's tweet yesterday. Governor Ned Lamont says DCG is relocating headquarters to ship and landing from New York City by the end of 2022. Connecticut is providing $5 million in grants in exchange for 300 jobs created over the next 5 years. Digital Currency Group is a major blockchain investor. That's the tweet from John Craven. The suck-up media that takes a story from the governor that should concern them to no end and promotes it like it's a good thing. Immediately following that in the Hartford Current story is a Patrick Sasser. You know Pat Sasser from No Toll CT. He's on the other side. And Pat tweets out another company connected to Annie Lamont's investment firm. That is the story. That's the story that anybody in the news media should be focused on. The corrupt governor is once again merging his personal finances with state finances. That's what's going on here. The governor, speaking to reporters following remarks at UConn School of Business, said his wife's firm sold its interest 6 months ago. Not at a big gain, but a lot less than what it sold for just a couple of months later. So stop repeating the lies coming from political opponents. Ned is the one doing the lying because he wants to make it seem as if these relationships are very clean and crisp. And selling a stock means there is no relationship anymore. Selling a stock means there was no benefit derived in the sale of that stock. For example, maybe word was spread around that Ned was going to give them $5 million to get them to move to Connecticut. Presumably, these negotiations took a little while. Maybe it took a little while. The governor is a master liar, master manipulator, and a master at trading on your power for his personal benefit. Lamont said discussions with DCG to move to Stanford were probably a long time ago, but he didn't know when. I don't know what that sentence means, but it's a critical one to have narrowed down a little bit. Lamont said discussions with DCG to move to Stanford were probably a long time ago. Like before you were born, before you were governor, before you shared it with anybody who should have known. What exactly do you mean, Ned?
Probably.
You buy in this stuff, Anthony?
I actually thought it was cool that a blockchain company was coming here, but of course, it's not for the right reasons. So.
Well, it is. But they should come because they want to be here, not because some people are being overtaxed in order that the government can then use that money to enhance the governor's investments and bribe companies to come into the state. If the state is so great, why do they need to be bribed to move their jobs here?
Exactly. And like the fact that his wife is involved with all of these companies. If this was a Republican, everyone would be all over that. But it's no big deal when it's just a nice Democratic governor.
So listen to this succession of statements in the story. Lamont said discussions with DCG Group, I'm rereading this paragraph to set things up for you, to move to Stanford were probably a long time ago. I think he means they took place a long time ago or they started a long time ago, but he said he didn't know when. Wait, the governor who owned a piece of the company he's now giving $5 million in state money to doesn't know when the discussions took place to move to Stanford, but he announced them. Couldn't he ask Josh? Josh knows.
That's a good
Josh,
point.
Josh, do you know about that? Josh, do you know about Josh?
Gina.
Where's Josh? No, Gina doesn't know. She's in Washington now. asked why he didn't disclose the Oak HCFT investment in DCG. The governor said the company no longer has an investment. The issue, said the lying Ned Lamont, is transparency. We have a list of every single company that we've ever invested in. Well, I'm sure you do. How does that help anybody else? Man, he is a piece of work. David Layman, Commissioner of Economic Development, believed DCG would be an amazing asset to add to tech companies setting up headquarters in Connecticut, comma Lamont. Oh, my God. They've gotten completely illiterate at the Hartford Current, so trying to make any sense out of these stories. This is the structure of the sentence. The last two words are Connecticut, comma Lamont. David Layman, Commissioner of Economic Development, believed DCG would be an amazing asset to add to tech companies setting up headquarters in Connecticut, Lamont. It received the exact same formulaic earn-as-you-grow incentives as most other companies get, he said. These investments of your money into private enterprises, the evil rich from other states, in order to bring their evil jobs to the state of Connecticut with evil rich people involved and make them more money, I don't see why you should stand for it. A few Republicans on Twitter cited DCG's move shortly after disclosures of investments by Annie Lamont's firm in Sema4, a healthcare company that has a state contract to perform COVID-19 testing in Connecticut. There should be a full investigation if there were an investigative body in the state, or if there were a Republican Party, if there were Republicans in the state legislature who did anything to help the state and to fight back and to justify their own ability to get elected. They would be all over this stuff, all over it. Protests. How about legislators out there protesting? Right there in front of the governor's office. The governor said he and his wife own about 0.01% of Sema4, despite what you read in the press and what you hear from political opponents who have not created a job in this state. Well, I beg to differ that political opponents do create jobs. It's elected officials who don't create jobs, Jolly Ned. Government doesn't make jobs. Businesses do. Evil rich people do. Lamont said he and his wife have pledged to donate every dollar of profit from the sale of Sema4. Sema4 is the first company around which a scandal developed for the governor's dirty double dealing. This involved a company that Ned and Annie owned stock in being given a secret no-bid contract by the governor using his emergency powers. You wonder why he wants a permanent state of emergency to give the contract to Sema4. Now, this every dollar profit he's promising to donate, how do we know what you have to understand business. If you've owned a business, you understand that profit is an adjustable thing. There's not a fixed profit that comes to a company. You get to decide as the owner or operator of a company how much profit you're going to make each year by what you do with the extra money that's coming in. And you can use that money to eliminate profit if you want to. It doesn't mean you haven't had a great year with a lot of success, but you might take a few million dollars to put up a building. You might buy a new subsidiary. You might deliberately lose money on some contract in order to benefit, in order to get that contract and benefit from the connection to a governor who likes doing this kind of slick dealing. The fact that Ned promised to donate every dollar of profit is an indicator that he understands that this is bad business and it makes him not look good. Sorry, we've got to get a break in. We'll talk more. 860-522-9842. Call the rant line, 860-751-4698. Put a comment there whenever you like on whatever subject you like. We play them during the 5 o'clock hour. As a matter of fact, today, during the 5 o'clock hour, we've got some rants coming your way.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
It's WTIC. 860-522-9842. It's gross what this governor does. It's gross his utter disdain for decency in government. There is no decency. It's indecent government he operates because he is himself. He is an indecent human being with no scruples and no integrity. And he's used to just throwing out any kind of garbage excuse to get away with being Ned. That's how you live a life being Ned. You just talk garbage all the time. And you don't get called on your bluff when you're born filthy rich and spend your whole life that way. You just brush everything off as being a lie or an attack or what have you. And you give everyone a smile and they say, oh, that Ned, he's such a good guy. He's a good guy. What a good guy that Ned is. while you do your sleazy thing. And people are confused because this is how we read our fellow man. We take signals from them. And he gives off signals of being relaxed and in charge and comfortable and decent and good. And he's none of those things. Doesn't even have an interest in being in charge of any. Well, he likes being the big guy. He likes being the big shot. And he likes being able to do whatever he wants outside of view. But he does not hesitate. Doesn't blink. You could not give the guy a lie detector test that he could fail because he doesn't suffer any cardiovascular repercussions from his conscience being tickled because he doesn't have a conscience. And this is hard for average people to comprehend. You've got to watch the guy. For example, when Connecticut is second, third, or fourth, or fifth in the country on vaccination rate, up there with all the other New England states, he doesn't mention it when it's not number one, but then when it's number one, he says, oh, we're number one. We've got the highest vaccination rate in this. And then he doesn't mention it again when it drops back down. And, of course, he never says that all the New England states are in the top 10 or top 5 or top 6, whatever it is at any given moment, because that would make it clear to you rather quickly that this is not a Connecticut phenomenon. It's a Northeast phenomenon. Because New York and New Jersey, they're up there too. Pennsylvania, you know, they're all circulating. But for some reason, New England is up at the top. Northeast is at the top. I think it's because people are, that higher educated people are more pliable. They're more apt to buy in when the government tells them that they should make themselves available to whatever the government command is. Wear a mask, take a shot, keep your kids home, make yourself miserable. Accept the wrong reaction to COVID and thousands of people dying in nursing homes. Educated people, I think, have less instinct and less survival sense. That's my take on it anyway. It is. That's my take. That's how I think it works. And I don't know what we can do about it except keep educating and keep making it make the obvious clear as best we can. All right, I've got a bunch of sound cuts I want to play for you, stories to talk about, other things to talk about. But if you want to, if you're bothered by Jolly Ned and his wife's interaction, intermingling of their financial benefit with your tax dollars, if that is of interest, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. 860-522-9842. Today we have Tom Scott during the last half hour. That's what happens on Tuesdays. Around 5:40, Tom will be here talking politics. I mention it just because we get so much good feedback on him that I want you ready since you love him. All right? Let's take a quick break. We'll get some news.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.